The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
From the Sky Eye Weather Center, this is meteorologist Rich Apuzzo, and you are listening to a special report, Global Warming, Truth versus Fiction. I'm broadcasting to you from the Sky Eye Weather Center, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this topic. This is a mid-2012 update. We try and do these once a year here on the FlyPod, maybe more often with the way things are going. And this one is going to cover a few of the main headlines blamed on global warming. Actually, go to the underlying science behind global warming, if there is any to support it, and then take a look at what we might have coming up. First of all, it's important to note that global warming is a broad topic. In fact, the full name is really man-made global warming. Clearly, the planet has gone through times of warming and cooling hundreds and hundreds of times in the past. That's nothing new. So when we talk about the warming involved in the term global warming, we're talking about man-influenced, man-made global warming, technically known as anthropogenic global warming. Some people just turn it into a three-letter abbreviation, AGW, anthropogenic global warming, man-made global warming. So when you hear that, that's what's referred to. Don't confuse that with the natural cycles we all know about. Global warming, as used by people in politics, news, media, other things, refers to man-made global warming. So as long as we've got that definition out there, and I suppose I should remind you that that definition, or I should say that phrase that was coined, global warming, has been updated, and it became climate change for a while, which is still being used too. I mean, you're hearing them all now because none of them have really worked. But climate change, and then it became climate disruption. The newest one, and you will hear more and more about this coming up in the next few years. Again, it won't work, but at least it's out there, and we know it's out there. So when you hear the term, you'll know what they're referring to. It's called sustainable development. Now, I know that many of you have already heard that phrase or something close. Sustainable development, sustainable living, sustainable growth. Anything with the word sustainable in front of it refers to this false green movement, to this push toward alternatives in energy and other things. There are some good things that have come out of this, but normally at the cost of other good things, certainly at the cost of jobs across the nation. They've seen this in Spain, where the green movement has cost 3 jobs for every 1 new green job. It's the same thing happening in the United States. Look at how many failed companies there are actually because of government investment in things like Solyndra and other solar and wind companies that are just going bust because the market's not there. Even China is having a very difficult time with its solar market because the demand is simply dropping worldwide. There's still demand, but it's not like it was because people are realizing that solar and wind are inefficient alternatives, very costly, also have a lot of rare earth minerals in them, which are toxic metals. And of course, they get thrown into landfills when these things break down. But we're not going to get into that today. So global warming, by its phraseology, means man-made global warming, which means climate change, which means climate disruption, which means sustainable development. And again, none of these have worked, none will, because the public doesn't really care about all these fancy little terms. Most of you listening care about what this means for your everyday life, and rightly so. How does it impact you, if at all? And, you know, that's what we're going to look at here. But the question is, was there ever any real science behind this global warming movement? Is there any today? I'll take a look at that in just a second. First of all, though, it's worth noting that global warming has apparently affected everything. And I'm going to provide links from this show on the Sky Eye Weather website, which means that things I talk about here that I mention, articles, I will have them on the Sky Eye Weather website. They'll be probably 6 or 7 or 8 links, shouldn't be that many. But one I really want you to check out, it's called Warm List. And again, I'll have the link on the skyeyeweather.com website. But if you, the Warm List is a list of literally hundreds and hundreds of stories, all blamed on man-made global warming. And when I tell you about hundreds of stories blamed on man-made global warming, I'm not talking about warmer temperatures or sea level rises or melting Arctic ice or all that stuff we normally hear about. Oh, no, 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 no. This gets really wild. Let me give you a sample of just a few that I'm reading directly off that page. It is literally a page of nothing but links, all alphabetized. And it's amazing the stuff and all these linked to stories that blame global warming for whatever the highlight is, from AIDS to Afghan poppies that are being destroyed, to an Air France crash, to aggressive weeds, what else? Beef shortage, billion-dollar research projects, billions are homeless or will be, billions face risk, all of this blamed on global warming. Black Hawk Down, yes, there's a story linked to that, blaming global warming. The British monsoon, Britain's bananas, what else? Coral reefs shrinking, coral reefs getting bigger, coral reefs dying. All kinds of different angles, all blaming global warming. Darfur. Darfur is blamed on global warming. What else do we have on here? Earth's axis tilt. Earth biodiversity crisis. Earth crumbling. Earth dying. Earth even hotter. Earth light dimming. Earth lopsided. All blamed on global warming. What is this with fish? Fish downsize. Fish deaf. Fish feminized. Fish get lost. Fish head north. Fish lopsided, fish shrinking. And this keeps going on and on. Gray whales lose weight. The homeless up to 50 million. Hibernation ends too soon. Illegal immigration blamed on global warming. China, inflation in China blamed on global warming. An insect explosion blamed on global warming. You see the point? There are literally hundreds of stories touching jets fall from sky. I can't believe I just saw that one on here. I'm going down the list. Tomatoes rot, tigers drown, tigers eat people, tides rise. Why? Wine industry damage, wine industry disaster. Storms are wetter, there's more drought, there's more rain, a puffin decline. That's not what pushes poor woman into prostitution. More prostitution because of global warming. So this is what global warming has turned into. And really, this list started more than a decade ago. This has been going on for a long time. So I'll provide you a link to that. You get the idea. Global warming can be blamed for everything. So what is the basis of global warming? It has been thought that somehow an increase in carbon dioxide around our planet would lead to a warming of the planet. Now, let me tell you right from the outside, this entire debate and everything we've seen about global warming could have just been dispelled, could have been gotten rid of, because carbon dioxide is a trace gas. It's 0.036% of the atmosphere. At least that's, you know, the current measurement. It goes back and forth. You could say 0.04%. 0.04, it's considered a trace gas. It's less than 0.5% of our atmosphere. The human contribution to that is less than 0.5% of that. In fact, I think it's more like 0.1% of that. And human CO2, based on studies, doesn't stay in the atmosphere longer than 5 to 7 years. It's called a residence time. It's not as if it just piles up and goes on and on. And yet CO2 levels are rising. Well, our CO2 level is about 395 parts per million right now. Let me tell you that through the course of history, ice core studies, ocean cores have all shown, tree ring studies, but certainly ice cores and ocean cores have shown that carbon dioxide levels have easily exceeded 6,000 to 7,000 parts per million in our atmosphere, and that we don't ever want to get down to below 200 parts per million, or plants will stop growing. You get down to 150, you're going to start losing life altogether when it comes to things that use CO2. CO2 is actually a good, healthy, and much needed gas. It's only a trace gas. 395, where we are now, is on the low end of that scale. Ideally, we'd like to be 1,000, maybe 1,500, 2,000 parts per million. Studies have shown, and they even have a cool video you can find online. I'll see if I can find it and link it to you, how plants growing, one at our current CO2 level and another one at about 1,500 parts per million, the amazing amount of growth of leaves. And then, of course, that means more fruit. corn, tomatoes, whatever grows on them, more of it. Because plants love CO2. And of course, if you get more plants, more animals can eat that stuff. More humans can feed off of more plants. More stuff is good. More CO2 is good. And most critically, there's been no correlation between CO2 levels and warming of the planet. There have been lines that are drawn showing that they seem to go up and down at the same time, but upon further study, it has been revealed time and time again that CO2 levels respond to temperatures. They don't direct temperatures. They don't control temperature, meaning that the Earth warms or cools first, and then the CO2 level goes up or down. And the reason for that is something called the Pacific Ocean. The Pacific Ocean is a large carbon dioxide sink, as is the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, Caribbean Sea, they all are. But the Pacific is the biggest one. When oceans warm, they release more CO2 into the atmosphere, more than man could ever do. When oceans cool, they take up more CO2 from the atmosphere. So it's natural. And we've seen this in many charts that have been plotted by many scientists from around the world of ice cores and other things. When Al Gore first came out with that chart showing that CO2 matched the temperature line, he showed them top-bottom. He did not put the charts on top of each other and match the timescales. The reason was there was never an instance where CO2 led the warming. In fact, quite often it trails it by hundreds of years. By the way, our CO2 level continues to increase. 395 parts per million. Atmospheric temperatures based on satellite from the University of Alabama, Huntsville, and other places. Temperature trend the last 15 years steady or declining. If CO2 is truly the magical thing causing warming, and we've continued to see it increase, why haven't temperatures gone up? Because CO2 can't do what it is said it can do. Let me tell you about another big problem with even blaming any warming anywhere and anything. We don't even know that there's been warming aside from proxies known as tree rings and things like that. But in recent times, what do we use to measure temperature? Thermometers, correct? Are you aware that all thermometers are not the same? Think about what we had for thermometers 150 years ago or 200 years ago when some places started taking records. They were those mercury-filled glass tubes, right? And you had a little scale behind it that would show you the temperature. How well do you think those things were calibrated? Some were probably pretty good. Others, probably not so much. What if someone didn't put the little chart behind it on there quite right? And temperatures were off by 3 or 4 degrees? Then we're talking mercury filling. I remember growing up with these, you'd actually tap the little thermometer, and you do this also with some of the other ones that we've used. But some gauges, you used to tap them to make sure you're getting the right thing. Well, a mercury-filled thermometer is fine, but it's not that precise, down to tenths of degree. That's what digital thermometers do, but those haven't been around all that long. Then again, what about where thermometers were placed 100 years ago, 150 years ago? Well, sometimes they were in cities, but cities were much, much smaller. Sometimes they were just outside of cities. Where are those thermometers today that are taking our official temperature records? Almost all of them are at airports or in cities. What do you think has happened in the last 150 years? Every city that's a city has grown. I mean, some have stayed the same, but all of our major cities have gotten larger. All major reporting stations are now more urbanized, which means you get more heat just because of more cars, buildings, asphalt, people living, more machinery running. Of course there's going to be a trend upward because our thermometers haven't moved out away from the cities as the cities have grown. So just the actual placement of the thermometer alone and then the reliability of the instrument is enough that we could argue scientifically that in the last 150 years, we don't have a good temperature record. We don't know what's been going on. But with enough averaging and mathematics, we've been able to trace the temperature record within some decent approximation. And what has it shown? It has shown that there was a time called the medieval warm period. A time that was around 700-800 through about 1100, maybe 1200. Then that led into the Little Ice Age, which from around 1300 through 1850 showed a lot of bitter cold winters, had times when the Thames River in England froze and they were able to hold frost festivals on the river. Now that can't be done. There were times when the Vikings lived in Greenland. again, during the medieval warm period, they explored that around 900 AD. They went over there. Around 1000 AD, they discovered North America. They had settlements. Well, it wasn't that much longer. As you got into the 1500s, 1600s, the Viking settlements were gone because it got too cold. So what evidence is there that any of this is man-made? Well, none of that was. We had warming during the 70s, late 70s, 80s, and 90s. That's where everybody's blaming global warming on. That's man. It's got to be man. All this new industry, and we've had warming. Two big things happened. First of all, we went from 6,000-plus reporting stations around the globe in the early 70s to just around 1,200 today. I can't explain why all those weather stations were dropped out of the global climate network, but they were, and most of them were rural sites. The ones that are left behind are the city sites. Now you know where the bias is. Secondly, we had three strong solar cycles, and this is the true driver of our climate, the sun, followed by the oceans. Three strong solar cycles. I will link you to the graphs. From the late 70s, 80s into the 90s, guess what cycle we're in now? 24. It is one of the weakest in the last 100 years, if not longer, and that's acknowledged by NASA. Some of the people at NASA are the big ones behind this global warming movement, and yet NASA itself acknowledges we are in one of the weakest solar cycles in history, and during the Little Ice Age, we had a consistency of weak solar cycles that led into that Little Ice Age. When the sun is weaker, our planet cools down. It's that simple. Actually, it's really complex, but that's the bottom line. We had three strong solar cycles, late 70s, 80s, and 90s. We had the Pacific Ocean go into a warm phase. The Pacific was much warmer than normal. If you've got more sun energy and a giant ocean that's warmer than normal, what do you think global temperatures are going to do? The Pacific Ocean went into a cold phase in the last 5 to 7 years. It's there now. It's going to be there for another 2 to 3 decades. The Atlantic Ocean has been in a warm phase for the last 2 decades. It is now cooling. It will be in a cooler phase in about 5 years. The last time both oceans were colder than normal, late 60s going into the 70s. What happened from 1970 to 77? Bitter cold winters, cooler than normal summers. But that was during stronger solar cycles. Now combine this extremely weak cycle, and all scientists forecasting cycle 25, the next one, to be even weaker. Where do you think we go? The sun, the main driver of climate. And by the way, a story just came out as I was recording this update, and I love it because this story is fascinating. Tree rings, and again, new studies on tree rings, the same thing that said we are warming, prove that climate was warmer in the Roman and medieval warm periods than it is now. Warmer. And we knew it was warmer, but it was even warmer than they thought earlier, and the world has actually been cooling on average for the last 2,000 years. I'm going to link you to that story. This is what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. The real science is showing that we were warmer in the past. The real science is showing that we had an ice age end about 15,000 years ago when it was a glacial, and then around 11,500, 12,000 years ago with a post-glacial cold period. So the overall ice age ended around 12,000 years ago, and the cycles say we should be heading into that next one. Even if the cycle is off, the sun is not. It is weaker. It has been running weaker, and this is the weakest solar cycle in about 100 to 200 years, meaning that we're getting less energy from the sun. Even if it's a small, tiny percentage, that makes a big difference on our planet. So we are going to start cooling down because cycle 25 will be cooler. The Pacific Ocean is colder. That's going to start taking up more carbon dioxide. Once the Atlantic gets colder, watch CO2 levels actually drop around the world. Don't be surprised if that is not reported, but I will highlight that here. It's also worth noting, I'll quickly touch on these. Sea levels have been rising at only about 2 to 3 millimeters per year. Do you know how many millimeters it takes to get to an inch? Well, there's about 25 millimeters in an inch. So if you're only going at 2 millimeters per year, that's what? Maybe a decade per inch. Let's just round it. 1 decade per inch. If you're going to go up a foot, that's 12 inches. That's going to be 120 years just to go up a foot in sea level rise. And that's assuming a steady rise. And that hasn't been happening. Sea levels have risen since the end of the Little Ice Age because we warmed up. It's natural. As we go into that next ice age, these sea levels will likely come down. But a couple of millimeters per year, don't sell your beachfront property. As far as polar bears, well, a study by Nunavut, which is one of the Canadian provinces, and the people up there says that the polar bear population is not only in crisis, but has been growing steadily. There are recent estimates that we're up to about 25,000 polar bears, and the population has grown so much they're having to shoot some of them to keep them out of cities. Everything you've heard, the Arctic ice, by the way, reached normal levels average for the past 30 years this past winter. It's back below those levels, but that's it. That's typical. We've been ice-free before. Not in recent history. We've been there before. Antarctic ice, above normal, has been for many years. So globally, we're not seeing much in the way of change of ice. Glaciers are not melting away. Global ice coverage is about the same for the last 30 years. Some glaciers retreat while others advance. This is the natural cycle. The fact is, we're not seeing disappearing Arctic ice. We're seeing growing Antarctic ice. We're not seeing polar bears disappearing. We're not seeing sea levels rising. And satellites and surface temperatures show there's been no significant increase. In fact, a decrease in the last 15 years since the El Nino of 1998, which was the hottest year of the recent decades. Ladies and gentlemen, global warming continues to be a hoax. No matter what name they use, sustainable development doesn't mean anything different. It's still a hoax. I'll have updates on this through the years ahead, but the latest, despite all the recent heat waves, is that the planet continues to run a little cooler, and we've got to watch out for global cooling in the years ahead. I'm meteorologist Rich Appuzo. Again, check out the links at skyeyeweather.com to this and more. I didn't cover everything, but you'll get even more of it there. And this has been the latest update on global warming, truth versus fiction. I'm meteorologist Rich Appuzo in the Sky Eye Weather Center. Thank you for checking it out here on the Flypod.